What's cooking? Brought to you by Precision Custom Cabinets in Auburn. Quality you deserve and dependability you can count on.
Well, welcome to What's Cooking here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. I'm Tom Nelson. That's Rob Ensley. Matt Nelson's on the board and on the phone right now. First time guest on the Outdoor Line. Doug St. Denis of Ridge to River Outdoors. I said I accused you of being Ridge to River Outboards earlier, Doug. So
if I owned an outboard company, that'd be great.
Okay, that'd be great.
How you doing this morning, Doug?
I'm very good, Rob. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right on, buddy. Thanks for jumping on. So you're getting kind of geared up for some kokanee coming up here. Are you watching water temps or anything? Are you seeing any kind of glimmer of hope for any kind of kokanee bite coming up here earlier than, say, the early April? Are we kind of moving in the right direction here?
I think there's a good chance that we're going to see some decent kokanee numbers before April. I really think that we're going to get through a little of this rain, and all it's going to take is a few sunny days, and it's really going to turn on the kokanee bite. At least here on the west side, I've already gotten reports. There have been some guys that are getting some kokanee on Lake Stevens in that top water column. But it's kind of hit and miss. You know, this time last year, it was on fire. So it's really going to be weather dependent as far as the sun and heating up that water and turning on that bite.
Yeah, despite this punishing rain we've had all winter, which I just can't get
over. Ensley used the words punishing because it's keeping him off the river. Yeah. He's got steelhead fever, something terrible.
Man.
Right,
but
now,
it's, despite all this rain, you know, it has actually been pretty mild here, and the water temperatures overall have been up, you know, across the board, even in eastern Washington. So it wouldn't surprise me for these lakes to be a little warmer than normal, Doug.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's not always the water temperature. It's just that trigger of the sun coming out and drawing those fish up to the top and getting them active. I've fished varied water temperatures and those kokanee. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing about kokanee. They have very strange behavior. What works one day doesn't work the next.
And we spoke about this, Doug, this week, and when we set up the interview, and you've come up with a couple different approaches to this. I mean, you're very keen on switching up your gear, switching up your tactics to get them to go, because, like you said, what works one day may not work the next. You got to be versatile, and you've been a little inventive in your terminal tackle choices for these kokanee here in Western Washington.
I have, you know. This time of year, I do quite a few seminars about kokanee, and I get a lot of comments from anglers saying that there are certain lakes, including Lake Stevens, that they fish, and they cannot get those fish to hit. And I got to tell you guys, if you want to be successful for kokanee in Western Washington, you need to pay special attention to your electronics. And you have got to be willing to change your gear. If that means you're going to go from a Dodger-style presentation to an inline presentation, you need to be ready to do it at the drop of a hat. If you're marking fish and your gear is at that depth and you don't get hit, you need to make a change immediately and flip back around and go through those fish. I like to have several rods set up ready for that change. I'm constantly thinking about the change. It's almost as though I'm fishing a bass tournament where you need to be able to make that decision instantly and change up the gear.
You talk about an inline presentation. Of course, we've always talked Dodgers and little mini hoochies and whatnot behind it, but what about an inline presentation? I mean, gosh, the guys in Eastern Washington are dragging flicker shad now and little Rapalas and catching all kinds of kokanee. And down in Oregon, they drag a little needlefish spoons from Lure Jensen, and they catch all kinds of kokanee down here. But up here, we don't do that. But you, sounds like you might be doing something like that, Doug. What are you doing for that inline drill you're talking about?
So, as you know, we've got two components to kokanee fishing. You've got your attractor, and then you have the lure. And with attractors, we have inline attractors such as, you know, the Max flashlights, the mini products by Lure Jensen. There are even umbrella rigs being fished now for kokanee as an attractor. And
cool.
So you have that, and then you have the lure. And I got to tell you, I have fished an inline attractor with an inline presentation, such as a Max wedding ring or a Hoochie you know, style setup, and it can be very effective. I fished Dodgers, the Dick Knight Dodgers, with an inline presentation such as a Max Wedding Ring. You have to constantly tweak this and stay on top of it. That's the only way that you're going to consistently put those limits of kokanee in your boat.
We're talking with Doug St. Denis of RidgeToRiverOutdoors.com this morning. And Doug, with regard to the fish's position in the water column as it relates to temperature, how do you see their movements working out? Because, I mean, early in the season, it seems like there's some on the surface and there's some really deep, and we need to get them kind of concentrated where we can get them consistently on the troll. So gun to your head, you had to go out to Lake Stevens today or another lake here in Western Washington and find a kokanee. Where would be your first place to look in the water column to find them?
You know, it's kind of hard to look in the, you know, the top five, six, 7 feet of the water, with your electronics. You know, you really aren't seeing that much. So if I went out right now today, I'd put, one or two rods down. I'd probably start about 15, maybe 20 feet. I'd probably run a stack, and that way I could cover, you know, some deeper water, a little more shallow, but then I'm going to long line a presentation off the back, and I might run on a long line. I might run, say, a Dick Knight Dodger with an inline, lure such as a Max Wedding Ring or a Little Hoochie, because I want that really erratic action behind that Dodger. And I might put it out, and I'm not kidding, 100 feet. It's going to be out there because I just want to fish below the surface 3-4 feet for those fish that are hanging up there. This early season, it's a little challenging when the water temperatures are a little cooler to see those fish all grouped together and see that nice color bloom on your electronics.
Now, what about scents, too? I mean, you got to put the right color combination out there and the right Dodger and this and that and everything. But then they're picky when it comes to scents, too. What are you tipping your hooks with out there, Doug?
You know, you guys, I think scent is critical. In fact, so when we're talking about scent, you need to be ready for anything. I like the Dick Knight attractant. It's commonly referred to as DNA. Folks need to not pay attention to the label, whether it says salmon or trout. You need to use all of those. And I like those because they're blended scents. And so I'll definitely use those. But I've also got anise, garlic, and I like to use my scents at the last minute. So, for example, these guys that really love fishing corn, and I love fishing corn, I like to tip corn on the hook of my inline lures. I think it's just that extra attractant that's going to get that fish that when they hit, they're actually hitting and holding on. But I think a mistake that some guys make, I think, is that they scent their corn the night before and they limit themselves. So I like to take my shoe peg corn out. I've got it all separated. Whether I put a little bit of dye in it or not, that's really irrelevant. But I'll put the scent on just a little bit prior to using it, and I think that's fine. These scents are amazing, and they hang on. I mean, Procure makes some great scents. Procure makes the scents for Dick Knight spoons, and it's good stuff. It's going to hold on.
Roger that. Hey, Doug, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Check them out, Ridge River Outdoors. You can book a trip with them and see some of this kokanee science for yourself. Give him a call, 425-478-9133. He's Doug St. Denis, Ridge River Outdoors. Doug, thank you very much, buddy, and don't be a stranger, pal. Keep in touch.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Doug. Have a good one, buddy.
Take it easy. Great interview. Good guy. Yeah. And come to find out, you know, we have the same phone prefix. I mean, he's right down the road from me there and, you know, the warm beach.
I'm
area,
sorry,
basically.
Doug. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
no,
live
it is.
So near.
Yeah. It's not because it's
smelly belly Nelly up there.
Not going to end up good for him. I'm going to spill something on him at one of these days, I'm sure.